All right, welcome back live inside Kauffman Stadium, Royals Rally 2025. My name is Josh Vernier, your Royals insider for 96.5 The Fan. Thanks again to Bobby Witt Jr. for swinging by. Let's go to the other half of that Keystone combination. One of the newest faces in Royal Blue, Jonathan India, kind enough to join us on 96.5 The Fan. Jonathan, welcome to Kansas City. I appreciate the time, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm excited to be here. You know, excited to be part of this. I've said it since the beginning. Last year playing the Royals, it was just, you could tell there was a sense of confidence they had. You know, they're starting to win, and I was like, wow, that's the team I want to be a part of. You know, and I got the opportunity, and I'm here. So I'm very excited.
Going from Great American Ballpark to Kauffman Stadium is quite a culture shock, or at least for a hitter. I got to imagine that's. I mean, you can wear out those gaps, no doubt.
But. No doubt. I think I've had pretty good numbers here, actually, for the times I've played here.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't know what it is here. I like the atmosphere. It is a big park, but you can't, you know, as a hitter, can't think like that. You know, you just got to play the game. You know, I'm not really a home run hitter, so, you know, hit a lot of doubles for sure, though.
Yeah, show off that athleticism.
Yeah,
show
off get that on base running. You know, get on base, steal some bags, and produce for my team. That's what I can do.
You mentioned get on base, and that's been everything that we've heard from JJ, from the coaching staff, is we need someone on base before Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny just start mashing the ball. What's the feeling when an organization says, well, you're the guy?
Yeah.
You know, you're the guy that we've been missing that's going to put us over the top when they identify you as exactly what this offense has been short of?
No, it's an honor. And, you know, I can't wait to be that guy to get on base for those guys and, you know, score some runs because that's, you know, my game. I've been like that for the past 5 years with the Reds. And, so here I am, and I'm ready to do my job. And I can't express it enough how excited I am.
What would you – listen, baseball, it's the best. I think we all agree it's the best because of the lessons learned, because of the day in, day out nature, you know, getting out of bed's half the battle, showing up the next day.
Yeah.
What are some of the lessons that you carry with you from those 5 years in Cincinnati and many more in the professional ranks?
You just learn how to balance, you know, the game with, you know, off the field stuff. You know, now I'm a father, I'm a husband, you know, this game is every day. You know, you don't really know it until you're in it. I always say that to people that don't play the game. It's just like you have to take it day by day and just be grateful you're out there and just play the game, you know, with joy and a lot of passion and give it all you got because you never know when's the last day on the field. And but then you got to balance being a guy off the field. You know, if you take your work home with you, let's just say any job in life, you know, you're going to struggle at work. So you know, I've learned over the years of playing just balancing, you know, being a father when I'm home and coming to work, and it's my job to do my, you know, I have to be the best player I could be on that day and giving it all I got each and every game. And that's what I take pride in.
Jonathan India, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. Who invested in you? Who are some of those vets that you came up with that, you know, can take some credit for the man that you've become?
There's a lot. You know, I came to a veteran team with the Reds. My whole team was a bunch of studs and guys that have had 6-7+ years already. Nick Castellanos is one of them. You know, I still hang out with him every day to this day in the offseason. He's helped me a lot when I was a rookie. Joey Votto is another one. I mean, we had lockers right next to each other, and I've just admired his work ethic, you know, throughout the years playing with him. I mean, there's so many guys I can name. Kyle Farmer's another one that's helped me a lot. That whole team of 21 I played with was just guys that really invested in me and knew I was going to be a guy for them and made sure I would stay on top of my work and kept me in line. And, you know, they made me the player I am today. So I can't thank them enough.
When, for you growing up in Florida, when did baseball become the goal? I mean, you're an athlete, so I would imagine.
Yeah,
there
no,
were
I
other
played
options.
A lot of sport. I played football, baseball. I surfed, you know, quite a bit, and baseball became a thing. I mean, I played baseball since I was four.
Sure,
but it was the only sport when I was like probably 14. I just stopped playing everything else, but continued baseball. You know, committed to Florida at 15 years old, and mm-hmm. you know, ran with that. So But baseball was always a big part of my life. And but I did play other sports growing up. And I think you have to as a kid, you know. It keeps you athletic. It keeps you open-minded. So,
you mentioned your Gator background, of course, traded for another Gator in Brady Singer. Where were you when you heard that deal come down? What was your initial reaction?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, me and Brady were the same draft class, you know, same age. And we went through the grind at Florida together. So I was, you know, it was pretty funny how we get traded for each other, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. You know, I told him he's going to be excited to play there, and he told me I'm going to be excited. So we both worked out at the end of the day. You know, it's just tough. I would love to be his teammate again because he's a natural competitor like I am. And we got that at Florida. You know, that's what they taught at Florida. So, but hey, maybe one day, we never know. He'll come back here.
Yeah.
And, you know,
can you expand on that? Because, man, I was a big Brady Singer fan.
Yeah.
He wanted to rip your heart out.
That's exactly.
But he was a nice dude.
That's exactly how I am on the field. You know, that's. We were taught that at University of Florida. You know, when you step on that field, you're no one's friend. You know, you just go play the game hard, and you win at any cost. And that's how we were taught. And, you know, after the game, you buddy, whoever,
sure.
You know. So, that's how Brady was, and that's how I am. And, you know, it's tough to be traded for each other. But,
for sure.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Speaking of Brady, and, you know, we just had Bobby Witt Jr., and it always made me chuckle, and I would feel bad at times. You know, Brady goes out and throws a gem, and then after the game, they're like, can you believe the plays that Bobby made? Yeah. You know, but I would imagine you were getting questions about Ellie De La Cruz last year, and just prepare that people are going to be like, hey, did you see that freaky thing that
of
Bobby
course.
Did?
Yeah, I get an honor to play with two great shortstops. You know, I played with Ellie, who's young and on the come up, and he's going to be an absolute beast. And now Bobby, who's you know becoming a player of his own, it's just incredible, and I'm honored. So I can't wait, and it's gonna be really fun.
What's the messaging right now from the organization as far as you know? Because you hear, well, maybe Massey will get some time in left field. Maybe you know India's played third in college.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that versatility and what they're telling you as far as how things are going to be deployed in Arizona?
Yeah, they haven't told me much about, you know, where I'll be playing, but they asked me, like, are you open to play third? And I said, of course. You know, I played third in college, and I never played second base until the big leagues. That was my first time ever. But, you know, I was a second baseman for the past years with Cincinnati, so I'm the most comfortable there. But you know what? I'm an infielder.
Yeah.
Through and through. So
were you shortstop in high school?
Yeah, shortstop, third base, So I could play anywhere in the infield, and, you know, even – I practiced a little bit of left last year in spring training, you know, didn't work out, but you know, I'm an athletic person, so I can, you know, mix and match out there if they need me to, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I know at least the first 2 years of Matt Quatrero, he's using everyone on that roster.
Put the best team out there.
And I have to think that makes buy-in from all 26.
No, that's how you win. I think that's the best way to win baseball games. You know, you put your best lineup out there and let them go. We'll see how it shakes up.
Jonathan India, kind enough to join us for a few more minutes here on 96.5 The Fan, Royals Rally 2025. As a bald man, I am going to be quite jealous of your hair all season. I was asking one of the PR individuals, I'm like, tell me that he shaved it. You know, those guys with great hair, they'll just take it down every once in a while.
I almost shaved it.
Right.
I'll be completely
honest.
Because
you're so confident it's going to come back and look
great. Oh, for sure. But I was so close when I got traded. I was like, you know what? This is opportunity for me to cut my hair.
Yeah.
Because Cincinnati loved my hair. And we had bobbleheads with, you know, they had wigs. And,
yes.
And I was just like, I can't do it.
No.
You know, I can't do it.
No.
So I'm going to have another year with the hair and see, you know. Maybe I'll shave it. I don't know what it is. I just had some feeling where I wanted to shave it off.
And your wife was cool with it?
She was kind of like on the fence with it. She was like, oh, it's your hair, but you know, you're gonna. Well, you might regret it if you shave it off.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you're right. So we'll see.
And you know, coming up next weekend, the team across the parking lot going for the Super Bowl. Were you much of an NFL guy coming up?
I love the NFL, man. So I'm a Jets fan.
Okay.
Diehard Jet fan.
Yeah. Wow. How'd that come about?
My dad, he's from New York.
Okay.
So, you know, he grew up taking me to these Jets, you know, games, watching them at these local bars around our house. And, I just grew up watching the Jets, you know, all New York teams, actually. So, and then, you know, it's funny, is Vinny texts me right away. He goes, I heard you're a Jets fan, man. You know, thank God we got another Jets fan on the team. I'm the only one, so.
Yeah.
I'm glad I have
it. It's a tough life, I would imagine. It's very tough.
It is very tough.
Yeah.
We were had high promises for the past 2 years, and, you know, Rodgers going out last year, and then this year wasn't the best year, so. It is what it is, but, you know, I'm a true Jet fan. I'm going to keep going.
You got the Chiefs coming out on top?
I think they win, man. Yeah. They're just too good.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, they're too good.
And you got 15.
They're just too good at they're calm. They don't make mistakes. You know, maybe the Eagles are more talented, but, hey, I think the Chiefs win.
I'm with you. Jonathan India, the newest Kansas City Royal. You'll see him out in Arizona in a couple of weeks. You'll see him at Kauffman Stadium in just over a month and a half from now. Jonathan, welcome to Kansas City. Thank you very much for the time today.
Thank you so much, man. I'm excited.
Quick timeout. We'll sit down with Carlos Estevez, another new face, after this.
You're listening to Josh Fernier, live from Royals Rally at Kauffman Stadium.
And the pitch. Swing and a line drive. One hop to Junior. He backhands. Long throw. Got him.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
I haven't heard that call before. What a great call by Mitch. Oh, my gosh. Welcome back. My name is Josh Fernier, Royals Insider for 96.5 The Fan. We're broadcasting live from Royals Rally 2025. We're with you until 12 noon. Still ahead, Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo, Manager Matt Quatrero, as well as the Cy Young Award candidate Cole Ragans. Text line's always there for you. I'll get to some of your questions coming up in just a moment. But as promised, the newest Kansas City Royal looking clean, by the way, looking real clean. Carlos Estevez, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. Welcome to Kansas City.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thank you for having me.
How did first of all, number 54 is what you'll be wearing. What's the story, if there is one, behind that?
It's going to be 53.
53, okay.
Yeah. The story behind it is if you combine the birth dates of my family, like wife, daughters, mom, dad, brother, and sister, it will give you a 53. And that's what I'll be rocking. I changed it a few years ago, and that's where I'll be going.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Tell me more about your family.
We're from the Dominican Republic. My wife is also from the Dominican Republic. My two daughters were born in Denver, a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. Man, they're just growing. Life is good right now. I'm enjoying my kids, and it's amazing.
You mentioned Denver. What was it like pitching there, leaving there? Did it take a while to, you know, feel right after leaving Coors Field?
Honestly, people don't realize how tough it is to pitch up there. And I knew it on my mind. It was tough, but. I didn't realize how tough really was until I left Denver, you know, until I stopped pitching up there all the time. Body feels better. You're more consistent with your pitches. Breaking ball is better. Not better, but it's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
And that's one thing people don't realize it. And it's like, man, those guys up there always have a high ERA. I mean, It's tough up there.
Sure.
If you go experience it for – sometimes guys go for 4 days and they never want to come back. So
right.
It is pretty tough. But it didn't take me as long. I'm glad that spring training was in Arizona also. So it's kind of like similar to for everyone. And then when I went to Anaheim, kind of the same weather. Mm-hmm. But a lot nicer weather in Anaheim, sea level and I found some consistency with my breaking ball and even with my fastball, which was good already. And I feel a lot different, and that's when it hit me. Oh, yeah, it's really difficult to pitch up there.
Just the toll it takes on your body.
Man, yeah, it is. It is tough.
So last season, did everything feel good?
Honestly, at the beginning, it was kind of weird. I wasn't getting in many games, but once I picked up the pace and we were winning more, they were getting me into more games, I felt great. I felt amazing, man. Finished on a good note, I felt really good.
Carlos Estevez, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 the Fan, the newest Royals reliever, picking up some saves, joining Lucas Erceg and Hunter Harvey and Sam Long. Yeah. Some big arms out in that bullpen.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
How did it all come together? Tell me about your conversations with the Royals this winter.
Honestly, it happened quick, man. It happened really quick. You know, we had some teams interested, and you know, when these guys jump in, and I had already knew something about Kansas City. They played with Greg Hall and Wade Davis, and they only had great things to say. Mm-hmm. And even when I came here during the summer, I think it was with Philly. Yeah, I was like, I wouldn't mind pitching here for a while. And you know, I said it out of a thought, you know, because I like how it looks. I like the stadium. I like the team. It's looking great. And, well, we're here now. And mm-hmm. and when we had those calls, it felt good to be kind of on the same page, you know. Mm-hmm. And the things that they were preaching about the organization, is like, man, it sounds like a good place to me, because I love every detail of what you're telling me. That's how I feel I am. And that's why we thought it was going to be a great fit.
You mentioned playing with Greg Holland and Wade Davis, two future Royals Hall of Famers. Were they your veterans when you were coming in? Who were the guys that invested in you?
Yeah, man. They helped me a lot. I got Greg Holland to walk into my second year, which at the time I had, like, I think, one year of service time. Mm-hmm. And then the next year I got Wade Davis in a – and from those guys, man, I learned a lot about pitching, and I feel with Greg Holland, I learned more about feel, like, how do we feel today? What can you do? What you know you can do today? And I learned a lot with that, because in Denver, you felt great. Yeah. So I learned a lot of that from him, and some pitch sequence too, and I found kind of similar my slider to his curveball, which everyone's still calling split, and because they break down, and I pick his brain and learn a lot from there. And then the next year I had Wade, and Wade is more about, like, he's more tactical, you know, like the way he pitches, he sees swings and he tells you, I think my cutter is gonna be good against this guy because he has this swing. And you know, I learned from both of them a lot. And also, I had some other guys. I had Mike Dunn, I had Chad Qualls, Boone Logan, and there were other guys. And I really liked that I had to be in a bullpen like that. And they pitch a lot, and I can learn from them a lot. And I felt that was a big part of my learning experience, my growing in the big leagues.
So now, as a veteran, when you're in the bullpen next to a rookie coming up this summer, what's the advice that you tend to pass along?
Trust what you got, man. Don't try to overdo anything. Your makeup, the guy who you are, that's who you're going to be all the time. You just got to have that on your mind. You don't need to be nastier, because if you're here, that means you can get anyone out here with the stuff you have already. So just trust yourself. And I have always said, the only stupid question is the one that you don't ask. And whatever you need, man, just shoot it my way. And if I don't know it, we'll find a way together, because now you made me think about something else. And let's get it. I'm here to help you, whatever you need, man.
Carlos Estevez, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. Whenever your name's brought up around baseball men and women, talk about great stuff and a great teammate. What does that mean to you?
It feels great. It's not like I'm really aiming, trying to be like, but I'm just like this. This is the guy you're going to know, and this is what you're going to get the whole time. And I'm glad that, knowing that I have played with so many guys and have met so many teammates, families and stuff. And I love they see me that way. And I'm glad I'm one of the good guys, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're joining a clubhouse with a lot of good guys.
Yeah, that's what I heard, man. That's one of the things that got to my attention.
And Salvi has a trophy that says he was one of the best in the sport this past year. Any relationship with Salvi?
No, man. Well, actually, I met him. I met him before, but you know, playing as opposites. 2 years ago, we were in the All-Star game together, and I had to come his way. I had to go see him because Salvi is a living legend already, and I went and met him, like, talk for a while, and Even when we came here last year, I talked to him for like 20 minutes right behind home plate, and he's a great person, man, and a really good baseball player and smart too. So
yeah, I'm curious, as a reliever, how important consistency is for you. You know, the new way of managing, understandably, is, hey, it's a big spot in the sixth. We might need you.
Yeah.
It might not just be the ninth. How do you handle that? Are you a fan of that?
Honestly, if that's going to help my team win, I'm down to whatever, man. Just count me in. I'm another one of the boys back there. And if you need me to face the middle of the order in the seventh, all right, let's do it. I signed up for this, so I got to be ready. And, you know, is the old ways, mm-hmm. people still call it how we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But whenever you have roles, I get it. You get more time to relax because you know where you're going. Right. But I also like this side because you got to stay on your toes, man. You got to be ready for anything. Yeah. And that builds a not a me personality, but brings the dog out of the guys. Like, oh, this is you right here. This is who you're facing. Let's get him. Like, go get him. And once they feel ready from the beginning of the game, I think we're gonna be on a good spot with these arm we have on the back of the bullpen.
And of course, not to mention the pitching coaching department as well. Really proved themselves over the past few seasons. How much did you know about, you know, Brian Sweeney, Zach Bove, and the rest of this pitching department?
I love what they're doing. I talked to Brian Sweeney and. I love what they do with the guys. You know, they show you like, hey, this is what you're good at.
Yep.
Let's keep doing it. Let's get more consistent, and let's go out there and show everyone that what you can do with your stuff. Don't try to get nastier. Don't try to do, you know, too much. And that's one thing I really like, because in past few years we have seen some scenarios that people is talking and thinking too much about the nastier. You know, mm-hmm. and. You can see that even when they talk about that, the guys at the end of the game are the same guys, you know. And you have the makeup and you have the build, and everyone was trying to do what they're best at when they're coming into that game. Right. And that's one thing I like from talking to Brian Sweeney. When I talk to him, I'm like, you see, like, that's one thing I really like, because I know I don't have the best stuff, you know, like whatever, however they want to say it out there. But I know I can pitch and I can compete up here. So we're going to stick with what we have and just be consistent and get better at it.
Can't wait. Final thing for you. What are your hobbies? How do you like to have fun?
Honestly, I try golfing. I'm really bad at it.
Me too, yeah.
But I like video games. I like reading TV shows. Good TV shows. I watch anime too. So
okay.
Yeah, that's
any new TV shows you can put the people on?
Oh, ooh. Let me see. Right now, I'm the second season of The Night Agent.
Okay.
And Netflix is pretty good. Yeah. And the other one is The Recruit. It came out, what was it, yesterday? Mm-hmm. The second season, too. Mm-hmm. Those are two good TV shows. They're not too long. They're short. You're going to get two seasons of good stuff. So
there you go.
Yeah.
There's the breakdown. Carlos Estevez, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. Welcome to Kansas City, and we'll see you in Arizona.
Thank you guys for having me.
Quick timeout. We'll be back with Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo, Cole Reagans, the manager Matt Quatrero, and what else could this team be adding in the next couple months? That's next.
You're listening to Josh Fernier, live from Royals Rally at Kauffman Stadium.
And the pitch. Swing and a line drive. One hop to Junior. He backhands. Long throw. Got him.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back inside Kauffman Stadium. Just when you think you know, this is my favorite player. Well, you meet someone like Carlos Estevez, and you say, oh, well, you know what, I guess I could see by the end of the season that guy becoming my favorite player. Wow, what a great guy. Big arm, too. Big man, big arm. You know, from everything that you hear, big heart, great teammate. Excited to have him in the fold, in that Royals bullpen, combining with Urseg and Harvey and Long. And If you missed any of the show, I talked a lot about the bullpen and, to me, my six-pack of spring training questions. I hit on that at the beginning of the show. If you missed any of the program, it'll be available on the Odyssey app. Just search All Things Vern. It's where you find my post-game show throughout the season, the spring training shows that'll be starting up in a few weeks, and, of course, the Royals Rally program. We had Bobby Witt Jr. and Jonathan India. They've already swung by. Coming up, J.J. Piccolo, Cole Reagans, and the manager, Matt Quatrero. But seeing that we just talked to the newest acquisition, a two-year, $22 million deal for Carlos Estevez, what else could be on the horizon for this Kansas City Royal Ball Club? You know, one of my main questions was, can they find power on the corners? Third base, left field, right field. You feel like you're going to get plenty of power from Vinny at first. And sure, you know what? You can punt on power in one of those corner spots because you have Bobby putting up crazy numbers at short and Salvi putting up bananas numbers behind the dish. You don't normally get that kind of offensive production from your backstop and your shortstop. So, okay, if you want to take a slight step back at third base and, you know, take the defensive upgrade that is Michael Garcia, okay, I can live with that. But there are a lot of infielders available. You know, if you're not keen on Harold Castro or Kevin Biggio grabbing that final spot on the bench, there are plenty of free agents, period, still available. I mean, upwards of 40 name free agents, guys that you've heard of. I mean, just to name two third basemen that I don't think would look too shabby in a Royals uniform, Justin Turner. Yoan Moncada, you remember him with the White Sox, a switch hitter, all the talent in the world, but just never could put it together, could never stay healthy. Both of those names interest me. How about a utility guy, someone that can play infield and outfield? Kike Hernandez is still out there. Mark Canha available. An outfielder in Randall Grichuk, a guy that can play the corners and run into 15 homers. And, of course, there are plenty of relief pitchers and starting pitchers still available. But, of course, and we'll talk about this with J.J. Piccolo coming up momentarily, at the offense, some pop right now seems to be the most glaring weakness right now for this team. So those are the free agents available, but there are other contract situations that will be top of mind throughout 2025, including Salvador Perez, a club option for next season, meaning no guarantee Salvi's on this team in 2026. Now, I'm not concerned because that club option is only for $13.5 million, and I'd be shocked if Salvi, who's making 22 this year, isn't worth 13 and a half next season. But Bobby's number is still reasonable this season as far as his contract number. But, Bobby starts to make a little bit more next year, goes up to $14 million and then 20 and then 31. So his big money is going to start kicking in soon. Seth Lugo can opt out after this season. This could be the last year of Lugo in Royal Blue. Now, he'll turn 36 next offseason, and he'll have the decision to make of, do I want to come back to Kansas City on a one-year, $15 million deal, or do I want to test free agency and try to get 2-3 years of guaranteed money? That'll be an interesting storyline to follow. Other guys that could leave after 2025, Hunter Renfro and Chris Stratton and Hunter Harvey are all free agents. Michael Lorenzen will likely become a free agent. Now, how about contract extensions? Any available names, anyone stand out to you that you would like to see J.J. Piccolo and this organization break off a long-term deal with? To me, there are only two options, and neither one of them would I pull the trigger on. Yeah. Cole Reagans and Vinny Pasquantino. They're both 27. Both hit arbitration next season. Will both hit free agency at age 30. Would you be willing to give them a 4 or 5 year deal? Take them to their age 32 season Now, the cost certainty would certainly be nice, really, for both sides. Guaranteed money for them. And this Royals budget now can write in pen exactly how much we got to pay Reagans or Vinny. To me, the question is how much are the Royals willing to risk? Now, if you're going to break off a long-term extension with Cole Reagans when you don't really need to for another 3 years, if you're going to break off a long-term extension for Vinny Pasquantino when you don't really need to for another 3 years, well, you're banking that they're going to stay healthy and continue to improve. And to me, in my opinion, I just don't see the need for this organization to take that risk, especially with the way that they've drafted and developed of late. Not saying it, you can replace a Cole Reagans or a Vinny Pasquantino, but with 3 years before they hit free agency, 4 years before they hit free agency, I'm going to kick that can down the street a little bit. Furthermore, how much would they be willing to give up? You know, if you're Vinny, if you're Cole Reagans, imagine the amount of money Cole Reagans could make in free agency. Is he willing to risk it the next 3 years? Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I want to see the kind of number that I could bring in on the open market. Yeah, I'll roll the dice that I continue to improve over the next three seasons, that I can stay healthy, because when I hit 30 and when I hit free agency, I'm going to cash in. Now, those are the questions that need to be asked. The player needs to ask themselves, how much are they willing to give up monetarily? And then the Royals, John Sherman, J.J. Piccolo, need to ask themselves, how much are we willing to risk, stick our neck out there to possibly earn another year or two of Cole Reagans and Vinny Pasquantino to eat up a year or two of their free agent seasons? Let me know on the text line, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. We'll get to some of your questions before we get out of here at 12 noon and hand things off to K-State basketball. But, well, the man of the hour, the exact person I'd like to speak with right now, Royals general manager and executive vice president of baseball operations, J.J. Piccolo, joins us after this.
You're listening to Josh Fernier, live from Royals Rally at Kauffman Stadium.
And the pitch. Swing and a line drive. One hop to Junior. He backhands. Long throw. Got him.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5.
Back inside Kauffman Stadium. Royals Rally 2025. My name is Josh Vernier, Royals insider for 96.5 The Fan. Joe Goldberg looking good. Tell you what, he's been doing a better job than I have this offseason of staying away from the cold ones. He looks good. You can throw that one on right there. And I also got to mention Bobby Witt Jr., the beard looking better than ever. I remember when he made his big league debut a few seasons ago, Jeff Passan had the quote that, I believe it went, Bobby Witt Jr., whose facial hair a teammate calls unfortunate. But it looks good now. Bobby, the married man, joined us earlier. If you missed that, you'll be able to find it on the Odyssey app. Just search All Things Vern. But as promised, kind enough to join us right now, the Executive Vice President of Baseball Operations and the General Manager of your Kansas City Royals, he is J.J. Piccolo. J.J., shake your hand, man. It's been a while. How you been?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, man. I'm ready for it. Yeah. I'm ready for it.
It gets you ready for it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is fun.
And I remember last season, Q, talking about, man, it was pretty obvious at this time last year that, wow, that team started to come together at Royals Rally last season.
It was a great event for us because we had so many new faces. They all knew each other from playing against each other, some together. But to see them get together, their families get together, you start to realize right then and there, we've got something special here with the group of guys we have in that clubhouse, and certainly proved to be true. And it feels a lot the same this year.
Speaking of special, man, first time I had a chance to speak with Carlos Estevez.
Yeah.
Boy, that seems like a good, not only a great arm, but just a good dude.
Really impressive guy. Very articulate. You know, a lot of these guys work hard to learn English. He's pretty much perfected it. But aside from that, we had done a lot of work on him back in July at the trade deadline. And there are a lot of connections that we had unknowingly at the time. But, you know, talking to those guys and then having a Zoom call with him the other day, a couple days before we signed him, we were even more impressed. And some of the things he brought up, he talked about, you know, just how he experienced life in baseball and how he got better. Mentioned Wade Davis and Greg Holland and how much they meant to him. So it was a really impressive call. And we were going to try to sign him anyway, but that was sort of the nail that finished it off. So it was great to do those things.
Well, before we get too deep, just an overall thought on the current roster as it's constructed a couple of weeks before spring.
You know, we're happy with the way the offseason went. We had some clear objectives that we wanted to fulfill. One was a leadoff hitter. The other one's keeping our pitching intact. The third one, not necessarily in that order, was trying to find a middle-of-the-order bat. That was slim pickings this year. It was hard to try to find that middle-of-the-order bat, whether it was via trade or free agency. But when we realized that wasn't going to happen, it was like, okay, how else can we improve our team? And that's where the bullpen, which was something Q had been pushing for anyway. Let's just keep adding arms, because if you can pitch and play defense, we'll be in every game. So it was an opportunity for us to dive into that reliever market, and Carlos was the guy we targeted, and I'm glad we got him.
So where do things stand as far as that impact bat you were taking aim at?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot left out there. You know, there's a few players out there that we think could potentially help our team get a little bit better. I wouldn't sit here and say they're going to be our 4, 5, 6-hole hitters, mm-hmm. but they certainly could help our lineup, give us some versatility. So we're going to continue to work on it. And you never know. I mean, if somebody, you know, something happens with a club and all of a sudden they have an extra outfielder, they may look to trade an outfielder. It doesn't seem to be the case right now, but, you know, things can change. We made a trade in spring training last year to get John Schreiber. So, you know, as you get into spring training and you continue to evaluate your team, somebody may look at their team a little bit differently and realize we have an area of depth that we can trade to pick up something else we need. If that happens, that's great too.
The power that was provided from the big three in the lineup last year of Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby, can we expect that to be duplicated?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's a shame that Vinny's season was cut short by the month, but he was probably going to end up with 110 to 115 RBIs. Mm-hmm. So to have three guys, I still consider him a 100 RBI guy, to have three guys that have 100 RBIs, it's pretty impressive. But I think with the addition of Jonathan India, that's going to hit in front of those guys. There'll be more opportunities for them to get runners in. And then, you know, we always talk about the leadoff spot, but also that 8-9-hole hitter is pretty important too. If they could get on base at a higher rate, now you have an even better chance for all of those guys to continue to get RBIs. And I know an RBI stat is not something that people really hang their hat on anymore, but there's a skill of being able to focus when a guy's in scoring position and be able to get the ball in play. I think Vinny had 13 sacrifice flies last year. That's clearly a nonverbal sign to us that it's important to him to get the run in. He basically gives himself up to just kind of lift the ball in the air and get a run. Mm-hmm. So we got the right mindset to knock runs in and get guys in from scoring position, but you got to have guys on base. And that's where I think because of the addition of Jonathan India, the maturity of some of the other guys that'll hit 8 and 9, they should have plenty of opportunity to continue to put up those types of numbers.
I mentioned to open up the show just some of the questions that I had going into spring training, and one of them was, can they find power in the corners? Now, you know, Vinny's got it over there at first base, but third, left, and right, is that a question for you, or the type of production you get from shortstop and catcher, does it offset the traditional thinking of power in the corners?
Yeah, we're a little bit unique like that. So if you look at our own profile sheets, what do you want out of your third baseman, your shortstop? You know, the script's flipped a little bit with us because we have such a special shortstop and a catcher that's still a productive major league hitter. So it is a little bit different, but there's a little give and take with that. And, you know, I don't think we'd be any different. You know, if Bobby was playing third base and Salvi was playing first base, you know, and let's say Vinny was playing the outfield, you're still getting 100 RBIs from those guys. So it doesn't really matter. So with that, you just want to put the best defensive club around there. And we get some things to figure out defensively. I mean, we know that. Jonathan India is, you know, very open to playing the outfield. Clearly has not played out there other than spring training. Michael Massey is willing to play the outfield. We think he's a very good second baseman. So we have some things that we've got to figure out. And I think the sort of the ace in the hole for us is the versatility of Michael Garcia. He's a really good third baseman. He's a really good shortstop, really good second baseman. But we're going to get a look at him in the outfield this year too, because I think he could be maybe that other side of center field like Garrett Hampson filled in for us last year. We think Michael can do that, and that provides at-bats for him as well.
Is he excited by that?
Yeah. Yeah, he was, you know, he knows he's a good athlete, and even going to third base, you know, he thinks of himself as a shortstop, sure, as he should, but he knows who's next to him. I think he did, we all think he did a great job playing third base last year, but we got a glimpse of him in spring training in center field 2 years ago because we had some injuries, and he moved around really well out there. His instincts are great for the game. He's got no fear, so going to the wall, coming to dive for balls, things that make an outfielder a little bit better. He has those intangibles, and we think he can handle pretty well.
So do you expect to see Massey, India, and Garcia play Cactus League games in the outfield?
Yeah, we do. And that's where we've got to evaluate and make a determination. What's our best setup? The versatility is nice. Sometimes you can be a little too versatile.
Sure.
You know, you know what we don't want to have is one night India's playing left and Massey's playing second. Next night we flip them. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There might be times that happens for other circumstances, but if we're going to get settled in and something that makes a little bit more sense on a consistent basis, we have to make that evaluation in spring training.
JJ Piccolo, Royals general manager, joining us here live from Royals Rally 2025. Speaking of India, I know it's not easy to part with someone like Brady Singer, a competitor like him, but in the wake of that move, how do you feel about the starting pitching depth? Obviously, those top four, you can throw Lorenzen in there as well. He'll stack him up against anybody in the American League, but depth, of course, is key.
Depth is key, and that was a difficult trade. I mean, not just his ability, but emotionally tied to Brady. You know, we've known him since the day he signed here. So moves like that are always tough, but sometimes you got to give up something to get something. And because we felt good about some of the depth and maybe our ability to sign another player like Michael Lorenzen. We had already signed Waka back, so we knew we had Waka. So now you bring Lorenzen back, but we still have a lot of faith in Alec Marsh. We have a lot of faith in Chris Bubich. We've got Kyle Wright coming back off of injury that we're excited about. And then young guy, Noah Cameron, who hasn't made his debut yet, but we feel pretty good about Noah Cameron. So we feel like we have the depth there. Then you have guys like Daniel Lynch, who has been a starter. He seemed to find his niche in the bullpen last year, but we'll probably build him up to at least three innings in spring training and just sort of read the room. Do we keep building him up, or do we back him down and just keep him in the bullpen? Jonathan Bolin's another guy that potentially can give us depth and make a start somewhere along the way. So we feel like we're in a good spot. I mean, the top four are experienced guys. I mean, I'm starting to put Cole in that more experienced group now. The top four are really good. They've pitched in big games. They understand what it is to pitch winning baseball. And then we were, you know, again, Marsh was very good last year for us. He filled that role excellent. And then Chris Bubich, the year before, was in that role, you know, and he gets injured. So we do have depth there that we feel good about. And I think the exciting part, now that we have Carlos Estevez in the mix here, we don't have to force things as much.
Right.
Q was pretty aggressive in letting them go an extra inning last year because we didn't have the depth that we have in the bullpen now. Now we have some versatility with all the left-handers. We have power with the right-handers. Zerpa is a power lefty. It's pretty good balance, so I think it should take some pressure off of those starters as well. Now, they're going to want to pitch seven and eight innings because that's how they think, and we want them to think that way. But to get through a season, get through 162, we were very fortunate last year. I mean, a couple batted balls is really the only thing that cost us starts with Waka and Marsh getting hit. But you want to preserve them as much as you can and be as strong as you can come October because it's difficult to pitch in October.
Well, it's going to make my job difficult, I feel like, because last season it was, of course, you let Lugo, Reagans, Waka face him the third time. With the amount of really good arms in that bullpen, I feel like me and the callers are going to be debating it just about every single
night. Yeah, I think so. I think Q and the staff do a great job in preparing for games and understanding matchups. So, you know, it might be five and a third, and we got the right guy in the bullpen ready to come in to face the right part of the order. And even though the starter may not like it that night because he wants to get through six or seven, I think they'll understand why, because we have a bullpen we're going to trust.
Something that's been stuck in my head since I heard Salvi say it to Joel in the celebration when you guys clinched that postseason spot was, you know, Salvi says, I hope we win it all this year, but no matter what, that this is who we are now. This is our expectation. How much is that top to bottom right now in this organization?
Yeah, very much so. And I think one of our, you know, Q and I talking through the offseason here, like what do we need to do as a front office, as a coaching staff? And it's, you know, it's to set expectations, but to temper them as well. We, you know, last year, Q's got a great saying here. We went from 0 to 60. Now we just need to go from 60 to 65. You know, a little bit of improvement, maintain what we've done. And if we can manage those expectations and be real, I mean, because it still comes down to that game that day, that's all that matters in the moment is that game that day. If we can keep that mentality, understand, I think we learned a lot late August through September, what adversity is like and how difficult it is to make the playoffs. Vinny gets hurt, 7 in a row. We lose 7 in a row again late in the year. Yeah. I think those types of experiences are really going to help us moving forward. So it's a long season, but understanding what the expectations are. The nice thing now is we don't need to talk about winning. These guys have done it. They understand it. And when your clubhouse runs itself, it's a lot easier as a front office, as a coaching staff to manage things because they have a common objective, and that's to get to the playoffs and win the World Series.
Talk about expectations. What are fair expectations for me, for the fans to have on your top pick last year, Jack Caglione, and when we could see him start to flirt with the big leagues?
Yeah, well, we've made a decision over it within the last couple months. You know, there's been constant dialogue with Jack about the two-way thing. You know, it's our opinion right now, the best thing for Jack is just worry about hitting. You know, we drafted him as a hitter. We know that his arrival, you don't want to put too much pressure on him, but his arrival to the major leagues is going to be pretty impactful in our lineup. So we want that as soon as we can possibly get it. Again, we can't force it, but we felt like if we had him pitching and hitting, it was going to be more difficult and maybe a longer road for him to get to the big leagues as a hitter. He completely understands it. He's a great teammate, very thoughtful in how he speaks about his career, believes he can be a two-way player, which we think is great. But I think through the conversations, he understands, all right, you drafted me as a hitter. I can get better as a hitter. I'm going to face better pitching than I've ever faced. I can get better as a first baseman. And you know what? And if his bat's moving fast, he might be playing in the outfield a little bit too, which we've toyed around with already, not necessarily in games, but with the work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the game is moving a little bit faster right now. Guys are getting to the major leagues, you know, more quickly than they have in the past. But you want them to get there at the right time when they're prepared. So all we want Jack to think about is going out. He's probably going to start in AA and just be as good as he can be every night in AA. And then it takes care of itself. And how quickly he moves will be determined by his production.
You let me know if I'm off base on this one, but as I was going over your off season, it seems to me that for a second straight winner, the Royals have done as good of a job as anybody else in the division. And I don't know if that's happened since Mr. K was running things. You've been here a lot longer than I have. Have the objectives been checked as consistently in back-to-back years as they seemingly have been here?
Well, I think the working relationship that John Sherman and I have is very good. You know, it's clear lines of communication. You know, I felt, and I speak for our entire front office, our coaching staff, we lost more games in 2023 than we felt like we should have. Now, again, I've said this over, our record's our record. Mm-hmm. You can't change that. But I didn't think we were as far off. And of course, that's because Bobby was emerging. We had some pitchers we thought were emerging, and Mikel and MJ and still having Salvi. We had reason to believe that if we made the right moves last year, we could contend. We didn't know if we were going to make the playoffs, but we certainly expected to be better. And John had a belief in how we saw our team, gave us the ability to go sign some pitching and some hitters. And I think it's been the same theme this offseason. You know, a little tougher trading a good pitcher to get a good hitter. But he's been very supportive. And I think the vision for our club is very clear. You try not to worry about what the other teams are doing. I get questions all the time about the Dodgers. And that's the last team I'm worried about. Because when we're playing them, it's going to be in the World Series. And we've got to beat them 4 out of 7. That's all we're trying to do. But the objective is to win the American League Central. And I think we're in a position to compete. And, you know, nobody wants to predict we're going to win the Central, but we can compete. But you got to stay healthy. Guys got to take steps forward. We do those types of things. I would expect that we should make the playoffs again. It's a big if, though, because it's 162 you got to get through.
Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo, thank you very much for the time. I'll see you in Arizona in a couple weeks.
All right, Vern. Great seeing you.
Quick timeout. Cole Reagans joins us after this.
You're listening to Josh Fernier, live from Royals Rally at Kauffman Stadium.
And the pitch. Swing and a line drive. One hop to Junior. He backhands. Long throw. Got him.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.